I love that we are not just bystanders in our miracle story, but we are blessed to be active participants in the miracles that God wants to do in our lives.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Good morning, good morning. Anybody crazy about Jesus this morning? He is worthy. He's worthy. I am excited to be here. Your pastor is right. He did have a big mouth as a freshman, and so I knew I had to go fight for him. But he was just one of my good friends. And one thing I loved about him, even when I met him years ago, because his dad was our coach, and so he was in high school, and he would come and run around the gym even when I was a sophomore and a junior. And one thing I loved about him is that he was so competitive. Like, he would always tell us, man, if when I get into college, I'm going to beat you guys. And we would always laugh. And but he did. He came to college, was one of the, let me tell you something, your pastor could hoop. So if you may look at him now, you say, that man could play some ball. But he was a leader. He was our captain. I knew that God was going to do some great things in his life. And so the reason that we are here and being able to see what God is doing for him now is just amazing. So can you honor your pastor and his wife with me this morning? And I'm just excited. My wife, we're actually in Orlando right now for volleyball nationals. And so it lined up perfectly. My daughter is down there. And so we're going to preach today and then run right back to Orlando to see her play her last few games of the season. And so we're excited about that. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. And if you don't have it, it'll be on the screen up there. And I just really have a word for the Lord for the church this morning. And so I'm excited to be able to share this with you. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And it says this, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you?'" We're going to spend some time on that question. "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour the oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went out and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this moment that we have together in your word. God, we just ask that we hear your voice, that we hear your word, that you speak. God, we honor you in this moment. We thank you for your presence that is already here. God, we just honor you. We honor this place. We honor this church. We honor this pastor, and we honor this moment that we have with you. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, I love that we serve a God that allows us to partner with him for our own victory. I love that the creator of the universe, God, the creator of the universe would allow his creation to partner with him for our own victory. I love that we are not just bystanders in our miracle story, but we are blessed to be active participants in the miracles that God wants to do in our lives. We are not just standing by watching and hoping and just waiting and believing, but we have the opportunity as believers to jump in with God to bring about his miracles for us. Now, I want you to understand, because if we serve an amazing God that wants to do amazing miracles for us, and if he allows us to partner with him, there is a certain step that we as believers have to take. And it is the step of obedience. And what does this step mean? It's like, I want you to understand. I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you willing to trust God's command in every situation? Like, do you trust him? Do you have the faith to believe God in every situation? Because what I want you to understand this morning, when you say, God, I believe you, God, I trust you, God, I have faith in you, he is going to ask you to do some crazy things. Anybody understand? Have you ever been just in a moment with the Father where you're like, God, I'll do anything, and then he tells you to do something, you're like, whoa, I didn't ask you to do all that, Lord. Like, God, I didn't say all that. Like I just wanted, but we serve such an amazing God, but he's going to ask us to do some crazy and some wild things. I talked about this last year when I was here, but I was living in Pennsylvania, minding my own business, serving the Lord. And I told God, God, I don't care what you want me to do. God, I'll give you my life. I'll do everything. And he says, pick up your family and move to Birmingham, Alabama. He's going to ask us to do some crazy. I didn't even know where Alabama was on the map. I thought they still had horses and stuff down there. Like, I had no idea. But he asked us to do some crazy things. So my wife and I, we cashed in our 401k. We cashed in our savings. We packed a truck. We packed our house. We packed up our life. And sight unseen, we moved down to Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to celebrate 10 years there. We've seen God do some crazy, amazing things. But I want you to understand this. When you take that step of faith, God is going to ask you to do some wild things. He's going to ask you to do some crazy things. He's going to ask you to do things that are outside of your personality, that's outside of your history, that's outside of anything you've ever done. You're going to say, God, but I'm shy. And he's going to say, I don't care. I'm asking you to do some amazing things. And why does he do that? Because he wants to test your faith. He wants to see, are you really willing? Like, are you willing to risk this? Or is the miracle important enough that you're really to step out? Because if you are, you are going to see God do some crazy things for you. You're going to see him do some miracles in Fort Myers that you never thought you're going to do before. This church, God is going to do some amazing things in this church if you are willing to step out and believe on faith. Now, this journey will always bring us to a decision. It would always bring us a decision. I want to talk about that this morning. We arrive at 2 Kings chapter 4, and we are introduced to two central characters in this story. We have Elisha, and we have the widow. Now, we don't know her name, but we get to be involved in her story, and we get a glimpse in this story of both sides of a miracle. Now, Elijah's side of the miracle, he is the conduit for whom the miracle will come through. The widow is the receiver. So we get to see both sides of the miracle story. So the widow, she enters into this story and she directly draws attention immediately to her need. Look what she says. She comes up to Elijah and I can imagine she's a little bit angry. She's a little bit upset. She's a little bit mad. She says, Elisha, she looks at him. She says, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. Like, she says, like, I want you to understand, your servant, he was your servant, and my husband is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. And this is, I want to look at this because this illustrates a tension in our faith. That I can fully love God, yet he can bring me to a point of disruption. Like, have you ever been there? Right? Like, God, I love you. I serve you. I go to church. I go to life groups. I give tithes and offering. Like, I serve. I do all the things for you. I'm in my devotion time. I honor you. God, I have given you my life. And yet he can, even through all of that, he brings me to this point of pain. He brings me to this point of hurt. He brings me to this point of disruption. And I'm like, God, why me? Have you ever been there? Can we testify to that this morning? I've been there. We're like, oh my God, I gave you everything. I went to Bible college. I still owe Sally Mae a lot of money. Hey, Lord, but you're still bringing me to this point of disruption. I want to testify to you this morning that, listen, this is exactly where God wants you. Like, what if this was a place that God, exactly where God wanted you, that he brought you to this place? He may not have created it, but he brought you to this place because he understands that this place of hurt, that this place of pain, that this place of sadness, that this place of where there is no joy, this place where it may seem like it's rock bottom, where it may seem like a tomb, this place is going to be the birthplace of your miracle, that this place is going to be a seed of your miracle, and we would not see God in his full glory if he did not bring us to this place of disruption. That we would not see him in his full power if he did not bring us to this place of disruption. God brings us to this painful moment so that we can experience his powerful miracles. So she tells Elisha, she says, but now the creditor has come, and he's coming to take her two boys as slaves. Now, I've been broke before, but I ain't never been that broke. Anybody know what I'm talking? Like, that's broke, broke. Well, you know when you broke, when your broke is broke. I mean, she is. She's so broke that they're coming to take the kids. Now, I only like about two of my kids, so I can sell one really. It's that one right there. I can sell him really. Like, come and take him. How much you want to pay? But you know, the creditor is coming to take her sons. The legal system in Israel would not allow you to declare bankruptcy. And so what they would do is they would come and take everything that you had. And so would they come and after they got to the end of everything, they said, okay, well, you still can't pay. I want to take your kids or your family as indentured servants, and I want you to pay with your family, and they're going to become slaves until the year of Jubilee. And so now they're here. She has given away everything. So when she says she has nothing, she has nothing. The only thing she has left are her two sons, and now she has to sell her two sons as slaves. And so Elisha, he asked her this question, which I feel is the most pinnacle part of this story. He asked her this question. He says, how can I help you? Now, the question that he's going to ask later or next is going to be, I feel, the most important question when it comes to the miracle. But this question sets up the faith part of this story. He says, listen, how can I help you? Because this question sets faith in motion. And I want you to understand, when you want God to move, really, if you want a miracle to happen in your life, your faith has to be put in motion, because miracles start where faith begins. Like, when I begin to believe God, that's where my miracle starts. And so this question puts faith in motion. But I want you to understand this. Walk with me here. Because this question can be one of frustration, or this question can be one of anticipation. I want you to understand that this question can be one of frustration, or this question can be one of anticipation. It all depends on where your faith level is. So he comes to us, right? Because us as believers, right, we say we love God. We say we serve God. We're honoring him. And people know that. And so they're going to come to us with their problems. They're going to come to us with their worries. They're going to come to us with their stresses. And they're going to ask us, man, what is your God going to do? Or how is your God going to save me? And we have two ways to answer this question. Number one, it could be one of frustration when we say, how can I help you? Like me? Little old me? Like, what are you? Am I God? Am I supposed to? How can I help you? Or it could be one of anticipation, where it goes, how can I help you? I'm getting excited. Like, wait, you have a problem? You have a need? You need prayer? You need hands laid on you? You need God to move? How can I help you? Like, you could be one of a frustration or one of anticipation. And we see this in Elisha's story. This is one of anticipation. He sees a need. He sees that God is going to move, and he goes, how can I help you? Like, I want you to understand that there's an excitement in this question. And she looks at him and she says to him, he asks her this, the next question. He says, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? I love this part about the story, because Elisha was not specific. He didn't ask her, like, hey, there's this miracle ingredient. You know, he's not selling towels on TBN late night. You know what I'm talking about? He's like, there's no miracle ingredient. He looks at them and he was like, no, what do you have in your house. Because he wanted her to understand that the miracle that God was going to do for her, the thing that God was going to do for her, she already had it. Like, she already possessed the thing that God, she didn't need another service. She didn't need another conference. She didn't need a pastor. She didn't need an evangelist. She didn't need somebody else to come pray for her. The miracle that God wanted to do for her, she already had it in her. I want you to understand this, that the miracle, like, you're looking around going, God, I want you to use me. I need somebody to, no, he's going to use you. He's going to use you exactly where you are, with your personality, with your giftings, with your favor, with your purpose. You are exactly what God needs, and he wants to use you. He wants to use you exactly where you are. Some of you know that God's been calling you to the other campus in Cape Coral. You know that God is calling you, and you're going, God, I don't know if I have it. Yes, you do. You already possess what God has. So he asked her, what do you have? Because he wanted her to understand this, that God can use anything. That God can use anything. So he wasn't very specific. He says God can use anything. There was nothing that he needed, nothing that was special, because she understood. So I want you to understand this. She answers him from her perceived area of lack. So he asks her, he says, what do you have in your house? And she answers him. She says, your servant has nothing there at all. How many of us have been there before? Where we're looking at God and he's asking us, he's like, I want to use you. But we answer him from our perceived area of lack. Like, God, I can't sing, God. I can't preach, God. I don't have the talents. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't know if I can do this. And God is like, no. Like, she answers him from her perceived area of lack. She says, I have nothing there at all. But she answers him. She says, except a small jar of olive oil. And what she didn't understand is, that small jar of olive oil is all that God needed. Like, that's all he needed. So she answers him. I can imagine. She's like, I have nothing. My house has been raided. They're taking what do you mean? They're taking my babies as slaves. What do you mean? What do I have? She says, all I have is a small jar of olive oil. And she did not understand that is all God needed. All he needs is that little thing to produce a huge miracle, because he is God. He can use anything and everything at every moment, and he can use whatever small thing you may have. He can use your small story. He can use your small history. He can use your small gifts to produce a huge miracle. And so she looks at him and she says, all I have is just a small jar of olive oil. And so Elijah tells her, and I love this. He goes, I want you to do this. Go around to your neighbor's house and ask your neighbors for empty jars, and don't just ask for a few. Now, I grew up in a neighborhood, and I don't know if you did, where people would go around. They would have no ingredients for a cake, but by the time they walked around the neighborhood, they would have a whole cake. Anybody live in that neighborhood? Like, you just not, hey, I need a cup of sugar. Do you got some flour? I go down there. You got some baking soda? By the time they got done, like, you didn't hesitate. You just gave them what they needed. I'm going to make chocolate chip cookies. What do you have to make chocolate chip cookies? Absolutely nothing. All right, well, I got brown sugar and chocolate chips. If you go down to Nancy down the street, she may have some flour, right? I could imagine this is what she's doing. She's walking around and going, hey, can I have a bowl? Yeah, I need a bit. Can I have a bucket? Like, what do you have? And they're like, how many do you need? I just need everything you may have. Give it to me. And so people are piling in their closets, in their junk drawer, you know, going through that old Tupperware from 1985 that you don't have a lid for. Got them old butter bowls that you just piling everything. And she's like, give me everything that you have. But I love this. Why did God tell her to do this? Because we must understand that for a miracle to come about, our faith must be active. Like, we are not just going to stand around. Now, there are times where God just says, hey, sit there, be still, and I'm going to provide a miracle. But there are times when God comes to us, and these are most of the times where he says, no, you're going to have to partner with me for this miracle. You're not going to be a bystander. You are going to be active in this miracle journey. So he goes and he says, no, your faith must be active. Like, you're going to have to move. You're going to go have to ask your neighbors. I know that you're poor. I know that you're broke. I know it doesn't look good. I know sometimes you may not want to do it, but you're going to go have to ask your neighbors and activate your faith and say, hey, I need something from the Lord. So she goes and she goes around. And I can imagine she's asking them, hey, can I get a bucket? Can I get this? Can I get that? And I love this about Elisha. After she gathers everything, she comes back to the prophet and she's like, all right, I got all these bowls. I got hundreds of bowls. And he tells her to do this. He says, go inside, shut the door behind you and you and your sons and start pouring oil into all the jars. One thing I loved about this story, and this when I started to really study these verses, is how Elisha tells her to shut the door. Like, this is not going to be a loud miracle. This is not going to be a miracle that's going to be done in the open. That this is going to be a miracle that's going to happen in your secret place. Like, we have to learn how to operate in the secret place. Right, the miracle is going to come in your time where you are alone with God, when it's just God and you, where it's not going to be a big crowd, it's not going to be thousands of people. God is not going to, you're not laying hands on you. No, it's going to be a time where it's just going to be you and God in the secret place, where times where you're going to have to lay out on your floor and you're going to have to cry out to Him and say, God, I need you right now. God, I'm looking at my kids and I need you right now. God, I'm looking at my marriage and I need you right now. God, I'm looking at my finances and I need you right now. God, I'm hurting, I'm crying, I'm in pain, but we're going to have to go on our face in that secret place, turn off the TVs, we're going to have to turn off our phones, we're going to have to turn off our tablets, and we're just going to have to get away with God, and we're going to have to cry out with Him in our secret place. I'm telling you, there's something special about the secret place. There are times when it was just me and God and this old piece of carpet that I had on the floor. And I was, you could ask my wife, we would look at our finances and there was nothing there. And we're looking at our kids and we're looking at our jobs and we're going, God, if you don't move there, I don't know what is going to happen. If you don't come through, God, I don't know what is going to happen. But those things, that heart, that passion, it was birthed in the secret place with me and God. And I saw more miracles happen in that secret place with just me and God alone and my tears, that more miracles happened there than ever happened in the open in my life. The things that people saw in the open is what I pursued God with in the secret place. The things that people said, God moved for you. Look at how God moved. They didn't understand it came from hours of being on that carpet crying out to the Lord, going, God, if you don't move, I don't know what is going to happen. God, if you don't do this, I don't know what is going to happen. And so Elisha tells her, you got to go into your secret place. And so this is what she does. She goes there and it tells us in the story that she left Elisha. She shut the door behind her and with her sons. They brought the jars to her. And I love this where Elisha, in the story says, she kept pouring. Like, she just kept pouring. And now it wasn't, and when I started to read the story, because I had learned the story years ago, and I started to look, I used to think like she poured one in a bowl, and then she took that bowl and poured it in another bowl, and then she took that bowl and poured it in another bowl. But as I started reading, I was like, no, that's not what happened. Like, the little flask of oil, it just kept getting filled. And as she would pour out, the oil on her flask kept getting filled. The oil was coming from what she already had in her. As she would pour out the oil in her flask would get filled. And she would pour more out. And then she would pour more out. And then she would pour more out. And as she was pouring, the oils kept on her. The oil in her kept getting filled. And I started to think about this with us, is that, listen, God wants us to keep pouring. We get to a place with the Lord where we get comfortable, where we say, God, you've given me enough. God, that this is enough. I already have everything that I need. But we don't understand that the miracle is in the pursuit. The miracle is in the pursuit. The more I pursue Him, the more that I keep pouring out, the more that He is going to fill me up. You will never have enough of God. The more that you pour out, the more that you give, the more that you serve, the more that you give of yourself, of your time, of your money, of your ministry, as you give, He will pour out. He will pour out. Keep pouring, keep pouring. I don't know where you are in your life, keep pouring. I don't care if you're at the worst moment of your life, keep pouring. I don't care if you're at the best moment of your life, keep pouring. Because what God does, he's going to keep filling. And when he fills, the Bible is, what does David say? He says, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. That God just doesn't give us what we need, that he's going to give us abundantly, even more than we can ask or see. So keep pouring. A little bit is just not enough. So in verse 6, it says, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. Like, I mean, can you imagine? Like, everything is just filling up and filling up and filling up. And she's like, bring more, bring more. And he looks at her and he says, there's not a jar left. And then I love this. It said the oil stopped flowing. That when she had gotten all that she needed, the oil stopped flowing. And she goes back to Elisha and she's like, we got all the oil. We ain't nothing left. And he says, now go sell, pay off your debts, and live off what you have. I want to close with these truths. Three truths I want to close with this morning. Number one is God has not forgotten about you. We see at the beginning of the story, I can imagine this woman was going, my husband served God. Like he was a prophet. Like he served Elisha. And God, you've forgotten about me. I want you to understand this. God has not forgotten about you. That you may be in a place of pain this morning. You may be a place of hurt. You may be in a place of worry. God has not forgotten about you. It's Isaiah 49. I want to jump in here real quick, just for a couple of verses. Jerusalem thought that God had forgotten about him. And I want you to listen to this and see what the Lord says. It says, yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten about us. But in verse 15, it says, the Lord responds to them. So they think that God had forgotten about them. The Lord responds to them this. He says, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for a child she has born? He says, so can a mother have a baby and just forget that she had a baby? Like, where'd that thing come from? Like, what happened? He says, no. Can a mother forget a baby? Can she not feel love for her child? He says, even if that was possible, if there was even a chance that was possible, he says this, I will not forget you. He says, see, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. Always in my mind is the picture of Jerusalem's walls. He says, I have not forgotten about you. Like, I'll never forget about you. I see you. I know you. I love you. I am here for you. I cannot forget about you. Number two, the second truth is, you are the seed to your greatest miracle. You are the seed. You, everything that you are, everything that you are. You may say, John, Pastor John, I'm not good enough. You are the seed to your greatest miracle. It's going to come through you. It's going to come through you. I don't care where you are. It's going to come through you. And lastly, keep pouring out. Keep pouring out. Keep pouring out. I'm so excited what God is doing in this church. I'm so excited for the move of God that is happening in this city. Keep pouring out, because when you do, you're going to see the goodness of the Lord. And when you see it, you're going to see exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ask or think. Just keep pouring out. You may get frustrated. You may get tired. There are moments in my life where I'm tired. There's moments in my life where I don't want to preach. There's moments in my life where I don't want to minister. Keep pouring out. So you can then see the goodness of the Lord. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for your goodness and grace. I thank you that you are still a miracle working God. I thank you that you have not forgotten about us. I thank you that we are the seed to the greatest miracle that's going to happen. I thank you that we have the blessings that we can continue to pour out so we can see their goodness and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.